turn to the passage of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, 2, and 3. Melchizedek, who was he? The question, of course, could righteousness come by him? I answer the last part of the question in just a statement. No, righteousness could not come by Melchizedek. Righteousness could come by no one except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No angel, no man, no system. And it is important that this be kept in mind. When the Bible says, if there had been a law given that could bring life, then righteousness would have come by that law. Very important passage found there in the book of Galatians, chapter what? It's 2 verse 19 or 3:19. Very important passage, because the passage is showing that there has not been given by God any law that could meet man's spiritual need. That includes the Ten Commandments system. When the Bible says, if there had been a law given, a law, what law? Any law. And people, you see, talking about the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath, they are wrongly led. They are misled, they are misguided, they are still in darkness. And the Bible says this, that to this day, wherever the Old Testament is read, there remain a covering over the people's face, which means their understanding is still covered, darkened. Only Jesus Christ brings salvation. Now let us hear the passage, Melchizedek. Why this man is so important, and why I treat it like I do. In fact, it would have been impossible for me to deal with it in one sermon, because that sermon would have to be a very long sermon. So I give you another part of it, and tonight will not end the things that is to be understood with Melchizedek. 1, 2, 3 of Hebrews 7.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life.
You see, this verse 3 is the mysterious part about this man's life. And why we have that is because Melchizedek was a type of Jesus Christ. That's why he's so unique. Okay? I begin by recapping a few things. That there had been a problem with the Israelite, a problem with Jesus Christ's priesthood and kingship. The dual role of Jesus Christ has been a problem for Jews, not only in the time of Jesus Christ. In the time of Jesus Christ, it was especially a problem, because now the Jews were dealing with This man who claimed to be the Christ. Previously, they only read of it and they could move on. With Jesus Christ on the scene, claiming to be the Son of God, the Christ. And they knew that in the Christ you would have both a priest and a king. There was a problem because Jesus Christ did not spring from the tribe of Levi. There is no way that any Jews could accept Jesus Christ as the permanent, everlasting, promised high priest, and at the same time, the everlasting king. Of course, I pointed out in the first lesson that Hebrews, which is one of the most important passages in the entire Bible, truly, because it solved this mystery. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. When you tie that with Psalms 110, verse 1 through 5, the problem to a great extent is solved. For ages, the text of Psalms 110, verse 4, seem a mystery. Read that for us. 110.
The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
For umpteen years, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Is Jesus Christ a priest now? Yes. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Christ is now, right now, a priest, officiating on behalf of us in the presence of God. As I've said, this passage had been a mystery. It contained the mystery of the Messiah whose kingship or kingly descent through the tribe of Judah, but whose priesthood was of a completely different order. This is the problem that Psalms present to the hierarchy of the Jewish priesthood, the Levite, throughout the years. How can you have a person who is a king from the tribe of Judah, and that person at the same time is a priest forever? Not from Levi. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 through 3, give us some detail about Melchizedek. The difficulty which arises about this character, that is Melchizedek, the difficulty does not arise in the Old Testament so much, but from the text of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3, remember some of this difficulty was in Psalms, but especially for us when we read verse 3 of Hebrews 7. Read it again.
Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life.
This is the problem with this character. Here is a man that inspiration record as having no father, no mother, no genealogy, no beginning of life, no ending of life. May I throw this out? I may bring this up again. You can almost drop in no beginning of, you can almost drop in no recorded beginning. You can almost drop that in. Brother Michel, wouldn't we be adding to God's word? One of the main reasons that the life of Melchizedek is so presented is because God intended from when not when that this man would pre-shadow Jesus Christ. This man's life would be a type of our Savior, the Son of God. Tonight we will go down some of the ways in which Melchizedek typified Jesus Christ. And from all indication, it's not that this man didn't have a beginning, but that God saw to it that it is not recorded. Even the Son of God had a parental beginning to some extent. That is, in his messiahship. In his messiahship. In taking up humanity to redeem us, Jesus Christ had a beginning. But on the other hand, Jesus Christ had no beginning. That's a mystery. Well, that's why Melchizedek is a mystery. All of this, no beginning, seems confusing, and it is to some extent confusing until one considers the divine purpose in so presenting him in the Bible. The divine purpose, God's purpose, is that Melchizedek stands uniquely and alone in his priesthood because he represents Jesus Christ. He's a type of Christ. And what about his life God kept a secret is to maintain that semblance between him and Jesus Christ. We take a look at the likeness in type and antitype. Remember, type is the shadow. Remember all that. The The antitype is the real thing. Remember that. So when we talk about type, the type is the shadow, the outline, the blueprint. The antitype is the real thing. The character in the Old Testament pointing to Christ are the sheep. Sheep were types of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the antitype. The ark of Noah was an antitype of the church. The church being was a type of the church. The church being the antitype. The brazen serpent on the pole was a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on the cross was the antitype. Not only the ark of Noah, the ark of the covenant built by Moses with the holy place and the holy of holies was the type of the church and of heaven. The church being the antitype. And this is why the church is called heavenly or the heavenly places. You know. So, as I've said, we look at some of the ways in which Jesus Christ, both Melchizedek being the type, Christ being the antitype. We are going to keep to the passage of Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 7, other passage will come. And remember, what I do, try to present a 20, 30 minutes lesson with the purpose that you get a little more acquainted with this great character. You know, when we pick up again another 20 or 30 minutes, part of it. Let us hear all three verses again, brother.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings.
Stop there. Y'all remember this? When Lot was taken captive, Lot was Abram's nephew, and in a battle, Lot was taken captive. Abram was a powerful man, and I don't mean personally. Abram was rich, and he had... In fact, Abraham had so much servant, he could farm an army. He did farm an army to go and rescue his nephew Lot. That's right. When he heard that his nephew was taken, this is in Genesis. Genesis chapter 20. In fact, I'm not going to. Look up that passage now, but it is in Genesis. Yes, but anyway, when Abram heard that his nephew was taken, Abram formed his own army and go and fought against not just one army, more than one, and took back his nephew. Read that little part again.
For this, Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings.
It's Genesis 14. Genesis 14. That tells, in fact, if you have a reference Bible, it would refer you to the appropriate passage. Genesis 14, verse 18. Let us hear it.
And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God.
Pick up where? 16?
From verse 16.
And
he brought back all the goods and also brought...
What? Listen.
Verse 15.
Yes, start at 15.
And he divided himself against them, he and his servants.
That is Abram and his slaves. Abram was the Don in his area. No, truly, he was wealthy with sheep and cattle, and he had a lot of slaves, enough to form an army, because that's what you're reading here. Read.
By night, and smote them, and pursued them to unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods.
And also brought who?
His brother Lot.
His brother Lot. Lot was really not his brother. It was his nephew. His brother's child. You know, but that's the way. It's the Hebrew language. Read.
And his goods. And the women also.
And the women that were taken captive.
And the people.
Uh-huh.
And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Shelderah. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter.
That is Melchizedek, you know. Read, let me.
And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Shelderlomah, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shave, which is the king's dale.
Okay, not Melchizedek. Read.
And Melchizedek, the king of Salem.
Yeah, that's right. The king of Salem, Melchizedek.
Brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth.
Okay, may I just point out something here while passing? It is pointed out that the Jews make a boast that they are the one who enlightened the world with monotheism instead of polytheism. And what the Jew is want the world to think is that before the Israelite, the only thing that the world knew was polytheism, multiplicity of gods, and that no one knew this until the Israelite. No one knew about the one true God until the Israelite came on the scene. That is false. You have just seen here that that is false. That long before the Israelite nation, way back in the time of Abraham, when there was no Israelite, you had Melchizedek, who was a king, not of the gods, but of the Most High God. So here the Bible is telling you that here is a king, a leader that recognized that there was but one God. And that is what's from way then. I just passed that along. Okay? So here we have now, one, the type and the antitype. Melchizedek's name means King of Righteousness. That's what the name Melchizedek meant. That was pointing to Jesus Christ. That is part of Jesus' title in the book of Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 5. Remember, the name Melchizedek means King of Righteousness, or the ruler for righteousness. This was pointing to Jesus Christ. Let us read it. Isaiah 11, 5.
And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins.
As you know, prophecy sometimes don't give the exact wording. But here is a passage talking about Jesus Christ, that his lining would be one of what?
And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins.
So when this man was named Melchizedek, which means King of Righteousness, that is a title of Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was also King of Salem. Salem, Shalom, peace? Yes. Jesus Christ is that, according to Isaiah 11, verse 6 following. Let us hear it. And Psalm 72 and verse 7. Let us hear it.
The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them.
And six following.
And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious.
The whole passage is talking about peacefulness. This would represent the reign of Jesus Christ. Look at Psalms 72:7.
In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth.
So in Melchizedek being the King of Salem, which means King of Peace, that was also pointing to Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was both king and priest. Psalms again. 14:18. Not Psalms, Genesis rather. In the meantime, you turn to Zechariah chapter 6. That Melchizedek was both king and priest. And so is Jesus Christ.
And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God.
Here in this one verse, it tells you Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth wine and
bread.
And then he didn't stop there. He was not only king of Salem, but he was priest of the Most High God. So here, in this role of king and priest, this is some 2,000 or 2,500 years before Christ. Melchizedek was pointing to Jesus Christ. Look at Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, about Christ now, the king and the priest.
And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place.
Remember, this term referred to Christ. The word, the term, the branch, is used quite a few times in the Old Testament. From Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel or Ezekiel. And it usually refers to Jesus Christ. So here is a passage talking about Jesus Christ. Let us see if he will be described as king and priest as Melchizedek was. Read, brother.
And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord.
He shall build the temple of the Lord. You know what that is talking about? The church. The church. The church is no accident. The church of Christ is no afterthought of God. It has been God's everlasting plan from before the world was created for the church that Christ is the founder of to be built. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Read.
Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne.
That is, he will be a king. He shall sit on his throne, and he shall rule from that throne, which is saying he is king. Read.
And he shall be a priest upon his throne.
Not only will he be a king on the throne, he will be a priest. That is Jesus Christ, who was typified by Melchizedek, who was also king and priest. And last but not least, Melchizedek had no recorded beginning nor end of life. And I use that purposely, the word recorded. Melchizedek had no recorded beginning or end of life. As we have just read in the book of Hebrews 7, verse 3, that was pointing to Jesus Christ. John 1, 1, St. John, that is.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Did you get it? But Brother Mitchell, that no say nothing. It says a lot. It says a lot. In the beginning was the Word. When the beginning came, Christ had already been here. Telling you that he was here before the beginning. He had no beginning. Now, it's easy to read and pass that and don't notice what the Bible is saying. When the beginning started, Jesus Christ had already been here, telling us he had no beginning. What about the end of his life? Look at Romans chapter 6, 9, Hebrews 7, 23 to 25. Romans 6:9.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him.
You know what that is? That Jesus Christ had no end. His life will have no end. Of course, this is the life he wants to give us. That's why he died for us. That's why he wants to save us. That's why he wants us to live according to his will, that he may share his endless life with us. That was Romans 6, 9. Hebrews 7, 23 through 25.
And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by the reason of death.
Very important text. There were many priests under the Levitical system, the Hebrew writer is teaching. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians in Judea. And they understood this. And the inspired writer had to remind them. There were many priests coming after the order of Melchizedek. Watch here. They were not permitted to continue because of their mortality. They died. He's heading towards something here. Read on.
But this man,
that is Jesus Christ,
because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood.
Y'all hear that? The Bible talks about thou art a priest after thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Here another passage is telling us that Jesus Christ's priesthood continue ever. That's verse 12. Read on.
The end of 24.
Read on.
Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him.
Jesus Christ is able to save us not partially, but completely. The word uttermost have that concept. He's able to do a complete job in saving us. That's the type of priest we have. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ and his priesthood. And thanks be to God for having placed Melchizedek on the pages of history, so that in Melchizedek we can understand a little more about Jesus Christ. There are some 3 to 4 more points about Melchizedek that will be undertaken in another lesson. If you are here tonight, you can become a child of God through faith, repentance, and baptism, so that Jesus Christ as God's eternal priest can save you. And we are here to help you. We are here to talk with you further, to answer your question, and to let you understand what is required of you by the Almighty God. Thank you.
Ninety-seven. 97. 97.